It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone, wide open, touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson! And it goes to Corey Davis. Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes! Crowder! It's a foot race, and Crowder is in there! A 69-yard touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
Q-inator.
Oh my gosh!
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to go through the keys to the game for tomorrow's matchup between the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins, their first meeting of the season. And so for that, of course, we bring in the man who handles the film over on the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel, the Thunder from Down Under, Mr. Luke Grant. Luke, what's up, brother?
I'm going well. It's Joe Flacco season. The Jets aren't going to allow 45 points this week. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, but will the Dolphins allow 45 points to the elite quarterback known as Joe Flacco? We're going to find that out coming up tomorrow. But let's go through some of the keys to this game. If Joe Flacco does want to put up 45 points, I don't see him doing it, but I guess anything's possible. I would think that one of the major components of the offense for him is going to be getting the ball into the hands of Elijah Moore. Four touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. He's certainly shown explosive spurts. Joe Flacco did a really nice job working with Denzel Mims last year. Denzel Mims had his best games with Joe Flacco. Could the same thing be true with Elijah Moore? I think that's one of the big keys to the matchup coming up tomorrow.
It is for sure. I mentioned it earlier in the week on the show. Joe Flacco brings out the best in Jets second round wide receivers. So look, I'm excited to see how he incorporates Elijah Moore and looks for him a little bit more, because you saw it as soon as Joe Flacco came in the game against the Buffalo Bills last Sunday. Elijah Moore became a focal point, and he just wasn't seen on the field when Mike White was the quarterback throughout the three quarters, or just about three quarters. So what does that look like across the whole game? I'm excited. Joe Flacco definitely likes to push the ball vertically more. I think we saw a little bit more of the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets. He decided to push him vertically down the field a little bit more. And look, it was a throwback to what we saw earlier in the season, but Joe Flacco is the guy who can take advantage of that. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how LaFleur, whose name escaped me for a moment, incorporates Elijah Moore's route tree compared to Joe Flacco's strengths and what he does well as a quarterback.
I also think it's going to be interesting to see how Flacco spreads the ball around, because to me, that is one of the key factors to whether or not the Jets are going to be successful on offense. When Mike White was able to get the ball into the hands of 9 or 10 different receivers, the Jets were able to move the ball effectively throughout. When he wasn't, it was a big problem. Now, obviously, we've talked about this. Mike White had problems far beyond that, but I think when a quarterback is able to get production out of that many receivers, whether we're talking about wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, what have you, that's huge. So if Joe Flacco can spread that ball around, going to go a long way towards the Jets being competitive in this game with the Dolphins.
Definitely. There were so many dump-offs in the couple of games, the Cincinnati game, early in the Indianapolis game. You saw so many targets for Michael Carter, for Ty Johnson last week against Buffalo. And while those guys did a lot after the catch and it was effective to a point, you're right. You need to get the ball in the hands of your dynamic playmakers, especially down the field. We haven't talked about Corey Davis a lot. I wonder if maybe Joe Flacco finds Corey Davis more than Mike White did. Can Corey Davis actually catch and secure that football? That's to be found out. But I think there's something to be said for Joe Flacco's presence, his ability to go through his reads, not just automatically look for the check down like Mike White had a propensity to do. So I'm excited to see, excited might be a strong word. I'm not excited to watch Joe Flacco on Sunday, but I'm interested to see how it looks and how this kind of Shanahan / LaFleur offense kind of looks with Flacco behind the wheel.
What will it look like with Tua Tagovailoa behind the wheel, though, for the Miami Dolphins? This is going to be interesting because Tua Tagovailoa is averaging 1 interception per start. The Jets have 1 total. So we'll see where the rubber meets the road here. Tua has, I think, played reasonably well when he's been healthy this year. Not saying he's been elite or anything like that. Certainly not as elite as former Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco. But Tua presents an interesting challenge for this Jets defense. Can they force turnovers? That will be one of the keys here.
Last week, it was Buffalo's running game, which just doesn't exist against the Jets' non-existent run defense. And you're right, this week we've got Tua, who has shown that he can turn the ball over a little bit since he's been in the NFL for the last 18 months against the Jets Jets cornerbacks, who can't catch a cold and have one interception to start the season in the first 9 games. So we'll see. I think Bryce Hall is going to have some added responsibility this week. Obviously, Brandon Echols is on the shelf. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Jets do opposite him. Are we going to get more of Isaiah Dunn, who had a really nice play on Sunday against the Bills? Are we going to see some of Jason Pinnock, who was activated officially through the week? So this secondary unit as a whole has played pretty well as a cornerback group. Can they take away the football, though? Because you can't win games of football in the NFL without taking it away. And look, on Tua, I'm with you. I think he's played pretty well this year. He's been solid. He's never going to be an elite quarterback. He doesn't have the tool set for that. But I just think he's had a really rough go in Miami, whether it be starting Jacoby Brissett, but then saying he's healthy to be the backup, whether it be the Deshaun Watson talks last year with Ryan Fitzpatrick. This guy's had to deal with a lot. I'd like to see him have some success, not too much success, obviously, as a Jets fan, but let's put it back another week. I want to see the Jets take away the football in the air. Let's get an interception. I'm going to say it right now. Michael Carter II, he's going to get his hands on a football. He's going to take one away against Tua and the Dolphins.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
You mentioned the Buffalo Bills' non-existent running game that became very existent against the Jets. The Dolphins also have a non-existent running game. Myles Gaskin has struggled mightily this year, but on screens and draws, the Jets have not been able to do much. Myles Gaskin could have his best game of the season. On paper, it certainly would seem like the Jets are a great candidate for that. If they can contain Gaskin, that should help a lot. If they can't, we could see a repeat of what happened against Buffalo with Devin Singletary.
And it's a little bit like how the Jets have been playing over the last 4 weeks. The last 5 weeks of the season, you've got Myles Gaskin, who's had 5+ targets in 4 of those. He had 10 targets a month ago. So they like to try and get him the football in the passing game. He's an outlet for Tua and Brissett. So look, can the Jets stop him? Even though it's Myles Gaskin, and it's almost incredible that we're talking about him as a key to the game, but the Jets have been that poor, stopping the draws, stopping the screen game. Myles Gaskin is that guy for the Dolphins. So it's going to be an interesting battle. Can CJ Mosley return to the form he showed early in the season? Because he's been pretty disappointing the last 2 or 3 weeks. Is Quincy Williams going to see playing time? It's a whole jumbled mess at the moment with that linebacking core. Jared Davis has been abysmal so far. And if it's Gaskin on Davis a couple of times, I'd be really worried if I was the Jets. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think it's necessarily going to dictate the outcome, but I think it could take a lot of pressure off Tua. And if the Jets keep allowing these excessive yards off screens and draws, it's just going to give the Dolphins so much momentum and it's going to be so hard to win.
It's also going to be hard to win if the Jets are unable to beat the Dolphins man coverage. Xavien Howard, one of the best cornerbacks in the league, I would say top 3. He has been absolutely outstanding. Bit of a headache with the constant complaints and going back and forth with the Dolphins organization, but no question what he is on the field. If the Jets can get something going against that Dolphins secondary, they might have a shot, but if Howard and those guys do their thing, the Jets are going to be in some trouble.
Xavien Howard is Jamal Adams if he could actually play football. He's a bit of a locker room headache, but he's a terrific player. He's just got such a great skill set. He's got a nose for the football. A couple of weeks ago, he forced a fumble, recovered it, took it to the house. He's just an awesome athlete. He obviously has great instincts as a pass catcher as well. As a cornerback, and his instincts with the football in the air. So it's going to be key. Can Corey Davis finally beat man coverage? I said it on the show earlier in the week. He just hasn't created separation. Really, outside of Elijah Moore, the Jets have struggled mightily in that area. So what are the Jets going to do? Because we saw the game plan, about a week and a half ago on Thursday Night Football, the Dolphins against Baltimore, and how many cover zero looks they got. And what does that leave you? It leaves you man coverage on the back end. And they said it's your best against our best. And Baltimore didn't even look like winning. And I'd be concerned for the Jets because I think that Corey Davis, Keelan Cole, those guys aren't great, but the hopes are with, as we mentioned at the top of the show, can Elijah Moore beat it quickly? And Jamison Crowder, because especially on the money downs, third down, red zone. Jamison Crowder on little whip routes and pivots and little slants. He can win quickly. So those two guys may be the key, because if you're going to beat these corners and beat the pass rush, it's got to be quick and it's got to be against man coverage.
Luke, you mentioned cover zero, and that means that the Jets are going to have to stop the pressures coming in cover zero. Emmanuel Ogba's had a really nice year. He's got 5 sacks. He's probably the toughest guy for them to try to stop. If they can do that and they can keep Flacco upright, that'll go a long way towards the Jets being able to be productive on offense. If they can't and Flacco is on his backo, as they say, then it could be a long day for the veteran.
Yeah, it's a combination of personnel, but I think even more than that, it's scheme for the Miami Dolphins. It's out of that New England tree. Flores, Belichick obviously have the connection there in New England. And it's just throwing numbers at the line of scrimmage. They're always going to show pressure with their outside linebackers. Sometimes it's going to be A-gap pressure through the middle, putting pressure on McGovern, putting pressure on Greg Van Roten, making sure their protections and slide calls are right. It's a lot to digest for an offensive line. I'm worried about those two guys I just mentioned in McGovern and in Greg Van Roten. How do they handle it? But in conjunction with that, look, I don't know if it's just me feeling this way. I don't think George Fant has played very good football the last 2 or 3 weeks. I think he's really struggled at times in pass coverage, seems to be getting beaten pretty quickly around the outside. So I think this is going to be a really difficult challenge for the Jets' offensive line. Even though, I guess, the Jimmys and Joes aren't that great or elite for the Miami Dolphins, the X's and O's certainly are. And they've showed a great ability with these cover zero packages and blitzes. So it's going to be a tough afternoon for the Jets' O-line. But hey, we've got Elijah Vera Tucker. And if he blocks 2 on every play like he has a couple of times in the last few weeks, that's going to go a long way.
Luke, one thing that struck me from during the week was Jeff Ulbrich saying they weren't going to make a lot of major structural changes on defense. And I think when you give up the amount of points that the Jets have the last few weeks, it's not something you really want to hear. If the Jets aren't going to make any kind of major structural changes based on what we've seen the last couple of weeks, this could get ugly pretty quickly. The Jets are going to have to keep the Dolphins under 40 points, which sounds ridiculous because, of course, they will. Most teams are not going to be able to win games unless they keep teams not only under 40 points, but maybe even under 30 points. If the Jets can't do that, they're cooked. And if Ulbrich is serious and doesn't make any kind of real adjustments throughout this game, the Jets could also be cooked too. So everything that I heard from Ulbrich during the week just struck me the wrong way. I don't know if he's trying to play some sort of 4D chess, but if they don't keep the Dolphins from scoring a ton of points and fix things when they go wrong, boy, this could be a really tough afternoon.
I don't know what I really expected him to say. I knew he wasn't going to suddenly shift his whole defensive identity, but it's not working. And when teams know what you're doing and you're showing them what you're doing pre-snap, so before the football snap, the Jets are in a cover three shell, they're going to be running cover three 90% of the time because that's just how this defense operates. So the offense knows what you're doing defensively. I don't think it's a good scheme right now because the single high, as I've mentioned before on the show, it gets destroyed by, ironically, the Kyle Shanahan scheme, Sean McVay, who else? Arthur Smith in Tennessee. All of those coaches destroy this particular scheme. So you're putting out a weak scheme right now in the NFL compared to where everyone else is going with their two high shells. Everyone knows what you're doing. Like, where's the recipe for success here? And then you get predictable on third down as well, and you run all the man coverage. Teams are just running these rub routes and getting easy releases. It is super concerning to hear Ulbrich talk about that through the week. And even though it is only the Miami Dolphins and Mike Gesicki and all of these guys, there's still an opportunity for them to score 35 plus here because of how poorly the Jets are playing, how poorly they're being coached. And look, I understand that you want to simplify things for a young secondary. I get it. You don't want to put too much on their plates, but these are professional athletes. These are smart young dudes, guys like Michael Carter and Brandon Echols. These are intelligent humans. Bryce Hall too. They can handle more on their plate. They don't need to be babied. They need to be helped by good schematics and by making the changes and adjustments necessary. That helps them more than trying to protect them.
Luke, the Jets and Dolphins coaching have both been maligned a little bit this year, but for different reasons. With Salah, a lot of people have said the growing pains are showing. You're seeing the signs of a rookie coach who's trying to find his way. And so some things have been a problem, especially on defense lately. Early on, it was offense. Now it's defense. And then with Brian Flores, it's a situation where everybody had anointed him as the next great head coach, but then the Dolphins really struggled to start the season. Now, to be fair, they've played better the last couple of weeks, but still, this is a guy that many expected to take that leap into the coach of the year discussion. That certainly hasn't happened. So the chess match here between Robert Saleh and his coaching staff and Brian Flores and his coaching staff is one of the most important and probably one of the most under-talked about storylines for this game.
Yeah, both guys have been pretty heavily criticized in their respective markets, and I think rightfully so to an extent. And look, for me, the key for the Jets coaching is going to be, what do they do early on defense to try and surprise Miami, if anything? Because as we just mentioned, Ulbrich's comments, all of that. But Miami has two play callers on offense. They've got co-offensive coordinators. No one really knows what's going on over there. They don't have a great structure or game plan around Tua. No one really knows what the Miami offense hangs their hat on. So can you take them by surprise? Because, look, honestly, similar to Robert Saleh and to Ulbrich, I don't think Flores is going to surprise you with changing up his coverage. They're going to run a lot of cover zero, a lot of blitzes, a lot of men at the line of scrimmage trying to confuse the offensive line. It's going to be a couple of coaches who are stubborn, who love what they do, who are kind of entrenched in their roots, in their respective systems. And it's going to be interesting. It's where offensive game planning should be most effective, because if Mike LaFleur can figure out, okay, this is the best way for us to beat man coverage, then look, the Jets can win this game and they could win it handily. But conversely, if the Miami Dolphins find ways around this Robert Saleh scheme and the cover three and the cover one, then the Jets are going to be in a lot of trouble. So I think for me, the battle is who on offense can game plan best around the defense, unless we get an unexpected surprise from either Flores or Saleh and Ulbrich.
Luke, any other keys to this matchup that you think we didn't talk about yet that need to be discussed?
Off the top of my head, it's not a key to the game necessarily, but I think the Jets need to do a better job establishing the run. I sound like Pete Carroll out here, but running the football effectively, running the football left. And they've been a little too right heavy the last couple of games. They've had no real success going behind Greg Van Roten or Morgan Moses. So I want to see him run the ball left. I want to see Michael Carter on the field more on third down, please. I've been asking this for weeks. Let's get Tyler Johnson and his stone hands off the field. Sorry, Ty Johnson. And let's get Michael Carter out there, because I want to see him running the football successfully, not having to scrap for yards. Right now, he's in the bottom 10 in the NFL as far as yards before contact, which is an offensive line stat, really. Nothing has come easy for Michael Carter in the running game this year. Let's have one of those games. We run it down their throat early. We dominate. Then we build the play action off of that, because we haven't had many of those games this year. It hasn't made Mike LaFleur's life particularly easy as a play caller. Let's have some success in the run game, and then let's build the passing game off that.
Luke, last question, non-keys to the game related. Are you actually going to wake up early in Australia to watch this game tomorrow with Joe Flacco at quarterback?
You better believe it. If there's an opportunity for me to see a Jets quarterback pass for 100 plus yards of defensive pass interference, I'm going to do it. Joe Flacco is must-see television. But in all seriousness, look, I want to see these young players every week. I love watching Eliza Vera Tucker, Elijah Moore, Michael Carter. All those kind of guys have an opportunity to shine, continue to grow. So even though the Jets aren't the most exciting product right now, there's not a lot of hope and optimism with Joe Flacco at quarterback, you still want to see the young core play well. And I'll be up at 5 a.m. to watch it. It's getting later now that daylight savings have flipped around, thank goodness for me. So I'll be up. I'll give it a watch for sure.
5 a.m. watching the elite Joe Flacco. You can't beat it in Australia. Luke Grant, the Thunder from Down Under, thanks so much for coming on. As always, really appreciate it. What is going on right now over on the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel? You've been putting up some videos, so talk about what's up there and why people should subscribe. And also our store at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got some great shirts designed by somebody that you know pretty well.
Yeah, we've got the teepublic collection for Play Like a Jet. Alex, my partner, _ can I be frank on Instagram. She did an awesome job with those designs. We've got the Zach Says Go Long Range, with the famous picture against Tennessee of Zach Wilson kind of flicking his fingers down the field to send Corey Davis. That's an awesome design. Have it on my own laptop. You can get stickers, t-shirts, jumpers, hats, anything you desire. You can get it with that logo on there. So make sure you check it out at teepublic. We've also got the Bless You, Thank You range, Quinnen Williams, John Franklin Myers, an important duo for the Jets who we didn't touch on during the podcast, the Play Like a Jet logo range, all of that's on there too. So make sure you check out teepublic. And then across on the YouTube, starting to get rolling now after the long bye week after Thursday Night Football, I had a video drop a couple of days ago now looking at the rookie class for 2021 and just how well they're playing offensively. Obviously, Zach Wilson's on the shelf, but the three guys I've mentioned pretty consistently on this show, Elijah Vera Tucker, Elijah Moore, and Michael Carter have been outstanding. I did an all 22 breakdown of them. I'll have a couple of videos with predictions and things like that coming in the next 24, 48 hours. So, and then of course, every week we wrap it up. I'll do a video maybe on Joe Flacco. Maybe we'll have a Joe Flacco video in 2021 on the YouTube, but you can find it all across searching Play Like a Jet on the YouTube. Make sure you like, subscribe, and all those fun things.
Make sure that you check out everything we're doing at playlikeajet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Check out the videos that Luke has made. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Follow Luke on Twitter at LukeGrant7. Also, as Luke said, check out our store at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. The Bless You, Thank You shirt with John Franklin Myers and Quinnen Williams. The Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt. It's all there for you at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And make sure you give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.